Ramble.
The Try Guys.
Keith, Zach, Steve,
Try Guys.
Eating pizza? They'll try it.
The Try Guys.
Eating chicken? They'll try it.
Try Guys. They're America's dads.
Welcome to the Tripod, and please welcome in our special guest for this week. You know him as Jack's Films. We know him as Jackie Jack. We've never called him that. Jack Douglas. It's a pleasure to have you, man. It's
so you can call me Jackie Jack. Thanks for having me, boys.
Woo!
Going to try this out with you guys.
Yeah.
Got a live studio audience today as well.
Oh, that's what they're for.
Gotcha. You mentioned, I want to talk about you, but you mentioned Shugi, and I bet you Ned hasn't heard that phrase.
Oh, no, I have. But you know why I have is because like a freaking like New York Times article about it or something, right?
So that means
that it's already past its prime. If I'm learning 100%. About it through, you know, a legacy media publication.
I haven't heard it in real life yet until you just said it.
I
read
it
another thing, and this is on TikTok, where it was a whole conspiracy that millennials invent self-deprecating content that Gen Zers don't actually use or believe in, like Chugi.
Yeah,
they don't use that word. They never have.
I believe
millennials
it.
Invented it about themselves to feel ostracized from the Gen Z audience.
Yeah, 100% believe it.
I mean, I'm on board with that. That does sound kind of like fun.
They don't get us
as a millennial. I would,
you know,
like
what?
To,
I embrace being Chugi.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty Chugi. Yeah, for
oh,
sure.
Oh hell yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, like I legitimately enjoy pumpkin spice lattes.
They are good.
Right,
though.
Sue me. Like, I'm sorry if it's basic. They're delightful.
They
all right.
Good.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't want sweetness dancing on your taste buds? Fuck off.
Right.
It's October. You. Get the fuck on board.
If you aren't getting your milk as hot as possible, what are you doing in life?
Doing it wrong.
But no, someone please explain Chugi to me like I'm five.
Oh yeah, let's do that first. Yeah, yeah.
I actually, you know, I threw Ned under the bus, but I don't actually fully understand it either.
Oh my god, you freaking!
I was hoping I could learn through you.
Yeah, me
as a resident youth. Now I will say, Ned, I think that you embody a lot of what Chugi is.
Yeah. So ask what is it though?
Okay, so here's what like it's like.
Cool as fuck.
I know I'm dope, but
so explain how my dopeness translates. Word.
Live, laugh, love. That's true.
Right. Yeah, it's like the kind of like Etsy, Etsy life.
Yeah.
On Mondays, I drink wine, like that kind of. I don't know, terrible example, but I feel like
it's
that's
5 o'clock somewhere.
Thank you. That's
true. Good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a true statement, though.
Now,
what type of clothing though? Is it like sweaters?
Like a novelty T-shirt that's like, my mom, like, I hate that bitch. Something
whoa,
like that.
Whoa.
I don't know why that's like your mom a bitch.
That's what the shirt says. My mom hate that bitch.
My mom. Oh, I hate that bitch.
Tell me that's Chugi.
What kind of font is it?
Are you saying like a Disney World shirt worn unironically?
Yeah, well, like a Disney adult.
I think being Disney adult Chugi, associating with your Harry Potter house Chugi.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm pointing at you.
Yeah.
Miles.
Well, we were recording an episode after
that's
this.
That's fucking bullshit. Because associating with your Harry Potter house is pretty awesome.
Am I right,
how else am I supposed to determine my personality through literature?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apparently I'm a Hufflepuff now though, so that checks out.
Yeah, I took the test and it said I was just in Filch's house. Like,
nice.
I don't know.
You the cat?
I was the cat or just like his roommate. But I will say, I did prepare a whole segment for next podcast called Are You Chugi?
Correct. Well, ooh, then let's delete all this and hold it.
Yeah.
No, Jack's here. I honestly, you had a question for us. I want to, this is your hour, man.
Yeah, I do have a question.
Yeah.
Yeah, how long have you guys been doing this podcast? I did not do my homework. I'm just curious.
A couple years.
We're at
2 years, I think.
Episode 110.
Wow.
So.
Whoa. We're the Simpsons.
Almost a couple years. Then.
Long enough that we should be better at it.
Look at it. We got cool guests nowadays. Maybe you don't know Jack. He has a YouTube channel. He does a thing called Yesterday I Asked You. You're probably one of the best at user-generated content. We
thank
call
you.
That UGC in the biz. Basically, your fans do a lot of your
anime.
Work for you.
Yeah.
And that's dope. But it's actually amazing the way that you interact with them. It's a very like, you offer them something, they give you something in return, you give them something back, and it kind of goes back and forth. And it's like a long conversation.
It's sort of more of a community building than just making awesome videos and never talking about them.
Yeah.
It is a very, it's a very hyper interactive community and environment.
Yeah.
And the whole Yai thing, it was fun. Like this show started off as a spinoff of a parody series I did, which is so, yeah, there's a lot going on.
Sounds like YouTube right there.
I'll give you like the quick history. Back in YouTube, or 10 years ago, I only ever made like parodies and sketches and such, right? Like everyone else. And then, 7 years ago, I made like a parody Q&A show because it was kind of like hot to do a Q&A show series on your YouTube channel forever ago. So I made a fake one where I would answer all the questions, but they'd be like the wrong answers or sassy answers, very sarcastic, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so like in the middle of the run of that show, I was like, you know what? I'm tired of answering questions. I'm gonna ask you guys something. So I'd ask a question and then do like a, you know, super rapid fire reading off their funniest answers because we all kind of shared the same sense of humor. Then I had so much fun doing that. I figured, well, I'm going to give this its own dang show. Hence, yesterday I asked you, or yai.
And it's kind of become a trademark. So one of the things about you is I think you are one of, if not the only YouTuber that all of the Try Guys agree on. Like, yeah, I like watching Jack.
Oh,
I think you. I think you're guys. Literally the only one. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I just enjoy you. I just like it's just fun. But what I love too is that you've cultivated an audience that picks on you, and you pick on them back. And I'm so jealous of that dynamic. I think it's so fun.
Oh yeah, we rip into each other, but like, you know, to
it's
an
a
extent.
Loving ribbing. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they go too far, and I'm like, well, all right, all right. That was a little too surgical there. Like, yeah. No, that's a big part of it too, because like you throw yourself out on the internet, you got to laugh at yourself a little, right? Otherwise, you're just going to be eaten alive by those comments. Especially if all I do is read comments all day, which is my job.
Yeah,
I'm going to read some hurtful shit quite frequently. So you got to have thick skin, tough skin, but. No, the ribbing each other process, it's a lot of fun because they know I can go after them, they can go after me, you know.
Have you developed that thick skin for, you know, maybe someone listening who feels like upset by the things they read about themselves?
I get upset every week.
And I'm talking about myself.
Let's say there was a 33-year-old out there who made YouTube
hypothetically,
content.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
No, I mean, I still, like I said, like every once in a while, something's just like real true. Like, fuck. All right. But what do you do? This month is my 15th year on YouTube.
I know. Wow. Unbelievable.
Which is, so like, and I still
How
like.
How old are you?
So old. So old. I'm in my 60s on the internet, you know, in internet years. But it doesn't, like, it gets easier. But like, even with all of this experience, I still, you know, get hurt by a comment or two, but like you just have to push through. It's like, all right, well, mute that person or whatever, got to keep going, got to push forward, otherwise this video won't get made or this week won't happen, etc., because there's no option B. Like, yeah, it hurts my feelings, but it's like I gotta push on.
That's
I got
an interesting point where like viewing it as part of your work helps you better not go down like a rabbit hole of self-despair of like I'm just looking at comments for data, or like I'm just looking at them for content. This one is not content, it's hurting my feelings. Let's move on to the one that I can't actually use because I gotta wrap this up. We're going to Chili's later,
right?
Chili's exactly. Not a sponsor, but damn, those wings.
How did you know I was going there?
Baby back ribs. So here's something funny you deal with, being that we don't, and maybe we have something we deal with you don't, because you're a YouTuber, you are your channel, just you, right? So you're in every video. The four of us, we're not always in every video, and sometimes all four of us are in the video together. That's like the most fun. I think maybe the most hurtful thing is when there's just no comments about you whatsoever. It's like it's not negative or positive. You're just like, wow, everybody's loving Zach in this video. Got some shout outs for Ned. Asked you talking about Eugene. He's like, nothing about
Where's
me.
Where's the love for
I
me?
I was in the video.
Sometimes
I'm sure.
One person isn't in the video and their comments asking about that person and nothing about you.
Nothing about you.
I was
My God. So I just announced a cookbook, right? Yay, everyone's excited. I'm excited. You're excited. But in our cookbook announcement video, most of the comments were like, cool, Ned has a cookbook. Now, where's Eugene's alcohol line? I was like, you guys, come on.
Same.
Wow.
I wrote this ding dang book for a year and a half.
One day for me.
.com.
Are you thinking about a specific video, Keith, that you deserved more shout outs for?
I don't know. Even just the last one that came out, they don't say anything about me. It's just like something that I notice every so often, just sometimes just nothing about you in the comments. And you're like, that's just. was I in the video? And then people are like, it makes you wonder, because sometimes people are like, where is this person in the video? It's like, well, maybe I should miss a video or two. Maybe yeah. I should be absent for a little right. while. Get craven.
Makes the heart grow fond.
That's really? What they say.
Maybe right. they're sick of me.
Where's Keith? I haven't seen Keith in so long. Is he okay?
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
There you go. Keith's working on a secret fried chicken project.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so 15 years on YouTube, you... Like, what even the fuck was YouTube when you started? It has gone through so... I feel like we are now at a point where I'm like, wow, we've been on YouTube for so long.
Elder statesman.
And we're not even half of that.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, first off, you gave stars to videos and stuff, but you know that.
also, before you go into that, let me also say
that
for being on YouTube so long, you have a remarkable consistency of views still. Like, that is a rarity to still be killing
relevant.
It.
Thank you. It sucks. It's so dang hard. No, it's really hard because like it's you obsess over. I mean, like, just this morning, I upload a video at 10 and then I'm immediately checking the analytics like, OK, like because it gives you that rating system like out of the last 10 videos. How well it did. OK, well,
I don't think people know that actually. Like so we have an app and it kind of ranks all of your videos against your last videos. Yes. Yeah. So you're just kind like
so you're comparing yourself with yourself, always, which actually is helpful because you know you're on worst enemy dialing your content into whatever is like the best.
But when you have that 10 out of 10, you're like, fuck,
what am I doing wrong? 100%. So that messes with your head all the time.
It does.
But like, what was YouTube like back then? So there, okay, like even back then, there were still like the advent of internet personalities, but it was still sketch comedy was king.
Yeah.
It was like, you didn't like the videos that blew up were funny short sketches. Nothing over
four minutes.
Yeah.
That was even long.
Two and a half is about the sweet spot.
It was a sweet spot back then.
The more racist characters, the better.
That's honestly, there was a lot of that too.
That, you know, what were you saying about the truth cutting, dude?
But no, it was just it was a wildly different genre. And like I said, not a lot of personality content. You know, there wasn't like the Me Show. You know, like there wasn't a lot of that.
It wasn't about people's actual lives. It was more like a funny,
like there were a vlogs character or every now and then. But it was just like sketch comedy was big. Parodies were really, really big.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because I feel like sketch comedy isn't quite as big on YouTube now.
Oh, it's almost completely not big.
Yeah. And actually, that shift, I think, really majorly happened around the time we came in. Not because of us, but I think that we really benefited it because of it. Right. Like we entered YouTube at a time that they were trying to optimize for watch time. It got longer. And then you saw a lot of people shifting their content strategy.
Although ironically, most of my 20s I spent getting good at writing sketches.
Yeah, you were just now you got to YouTube too
completely
late.
Wasted. Yeah, I did.
Okay, if you could bring one thing back, like YouTube's not what it used to be.
Ooh.
Bring, I want it to be like it was. What are we doing? Who are we throwing out? Who are we bringing back in?
Bring back Reply Girls. You know, gotta bring. Do you guys know Reply Girls?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
This is old school. This is like 10 years ago. So like when people would make a video, you had the option to reply with your own video.
Oh yeah.
So kind of like the Tic Tac.
Yeah, kind of like the Tic Tac.
So there was a kind of a subculture known fondly as reply girls that these girls were just, they would reply, they would provide no commentary about the video. It was just an excuse to just like show off in front of the camera and just kind of like appear in this feed, because it would be like a little micro feed below the main video.
Some prime real estate.
Yeah, exactly. And it was kind of a frowned upon, you know, like the community hated it. And eventually YouTube got rid of that feature, that function. But
probably also before the days of YouTube being able to identify cleavage in thumbnails as something that people didn't want, and to specifically like lower it in surfacing. Right. Yeah. Like there's like 2014, if you put boobs in a thumbnail, YouTube didn't know they were boobs, but everyone's clicking on them. We're like,
right.
Whoa, boobs.
15 amazing toaster facts. Yeah, just a lady with a huge face. Yeah. It's like, well, that's not about toasters.
but I'm clicking on it.
But maybe now, it is.
YouTube like has some, like, I don't know, way of doing some technology thing where it's like, we'll flag it if it has boobs in the thumbnail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's clickbaity like that, then make it so that no one sees it.
I do remember that reply feature because I made a music video to Kesha's Blow.
No, you did not.
Damn.
Wow. When I was 15,
and I replied to Kesha's video being like, this is going to put us on the fucking map.
How old were you, Miles?
Yeah. I was probably 16, 15.
Hell yeah. Oh,
where is this video?
I took it offline, but
bring it back.
It again.
Special
training. It was Blow, but me and my friends doing the video. Just like, we were like us around town, like kind of awkwardly, like, okay, what if I come out of a porta potty on this line?
Yeah.
Did you also make a Doritos Super Bowl commercial?
Oh my God. Yes.
We did not. Like,
yes.
Did you?
Hell yeah.
I did.
They were awful.
It was like young filmmaker number one dream.
What was your Doritos commercial? Yeah. So it wasn't my own. It was like for a friend's. And so like they wrote, like, yeah, I can shit on it because they wrote it. I was just in. But it was like, you know, a guy gets kicked in the nuts and his voice is falsetto. There was like a hot chick, a wooga. It was like the worst. It was just like bottom of the barrel, lowest common denominator kind of shit.
Hey, Middle America's going to eat that up, baby.
Absolutely. And we got first place. No, not
our thought of what Middle America is going to eat that up.
That's yeah, that's fair. So yeah, that's a really good point, though. It really was such a staple of like young ass filmmaking 101. That's so true.
I remember mine, and because I wrote it, so no excuses here. It's a lady at a bus stop standing next to a man who has a Doritos bag for a head at the bus stop. The lady finishes her Doritos, and the man promptly leans down and opens his head and offers her Doritos. She takes Doritos and he falls to the pavement dead. And then it cuts to a hospital where a doctor comes in and looks at a woman with a Doritos bag head holding a baby Doritos.
Oh my God.
The doctor just shakes his head no, and the woman just puts the hand over where her mouth should be. And it just says,
what is that implying?
What? That's clever.
The Doritos give their life for you. But we never think past the bag.
Okay, see, that's leagues ahead of whatever I was
weird
saying.
And they obviously didn't go for
Middle America ate it up.
It was
I like
so
the
funny.
Imagery. It's quite
It was cool.
Beautiful.
It was pretty
that's
well
hilarious.
Made. It was so funny, but it was too obviously too dark. It was just too dark. I think it cuts back to the doctor eating Doritos.
Nice.
We presume that he's killed the mother.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well.
That's pretty great.
You know.
I got more questions for you, Jack.
Hit me.
I was thinking last night, I started looking at your Wikipedia page, so I've got a bunch. And I've got some heavy hitters, okay?
Uh-oh.
First one, though, I'm going to turn the lens back on us. Okay, 15 years on YouTube. Try Guys, year 15. What the fuck even is that?
Ooh.
Because you've evolved, you've gone through different periods of Jack's films. What do you have any predictions for us? Do you guys have any predictions for us? I'm keeping myself out of this.
So what year is this for you guys? What number year?
You're six.
Yeah.
Okay. If this is
well, so maybe no, it'd be seven.
Seven.
So 8 years.
So long.
From now, oh my God, the YouTube space is going to change.
That's more than double what we've done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try Guys Midlife Crisis series.
Oh man,
we aren't there yet.
What's going to be popular in 8-9 years from now?
I think it'll just all be branded content. It'll Love just it. Be like Dunkin' future. Donuts presents everything.
Sounds great.
Because I feel like brands are now woke to the idea that it's just like, yeah, this is what content is. We want to do it. The little Dunkins, Charlie D'Amelio, shout out. But yeah, I also think you guys are all dead and I run the company.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
full on board with that.
That content will all be VR and you put on the mask to be, and you choose in a Try Guys video to be Zach, Ned, Keith, or Eugene, and you play out the video experientially as the person you chose it to be, and you go try bowling, but you maybe pick Eugene and you're just strangely good at it for no reason at the end of the game or whatever it is.
Oh, so it's VR where depending on what character you are, you either are good or you suck.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Very frustrating experience.
Yeah, well, VR is all about that.
So Ready Player One kind of deal.
Yeah, kind of Ready Player One meets YouTube.
Yeah.
Content. Mm-hmm.
And you like choose your adventure, Ready Player One.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you could go
it's
in.
It's a game where you wake up, you're in Keith's bedroom.
Yeah.
What do you do next?
Right, you gotta have coffee in bed.
Yeah, have coffee in bed, as Keith always does.
Mm-hmm. God, that's a crazy thought. I mean, VR is blowing up.
I go back and forth on whether I think VR will really, because you guys love it, right? You
get invested amazing. In
it, but mm-hmm. like, it's also something that it's totally like removes you from the world rather than is a shared kind of viewing experience. And I think that will always kind of limit it to an extent.
Except that, Ned, there's games where just like any other thing, you are on a server and you're hanging out with people and you can see their avatars and you can go have a bowling night together and it is experiential.
Wow. And it's only going to get better. Wow. Like, it's only going to get more photorealistic.
There's people who do movie watch parties.
Yes.
And they literally all put on VR headsets. And their VR headset puts them in a theater next to all their virtual friend cool avatars, idea. And they watch a movie.
You know what I mean, I know cool. what really is going to happen if you really want me to get like real nerdy with it.
What? Yeah.
It's going to have to be led by the gaming industry, and specifically Xbox or PlayStation is going to introduce a very cheap VR add-on. It'll be like a $60 headset that goes along with your Xbox. If you want me, there's my favorite Jay Baruchel moment in Tropic Thunder where he gives the history of Blu-ray versus HD DVD.
Right.
And the reason that Blu-ray ended up winning out is because of gamers and because of porn.
Right.
They both adopted Blu-ray over HD DVD, and that won the race.
Do you play VR stuff?
Yeah, we have an Oculus Quest 1 and 2 back home, and oh my god, every time I don't play them enough, but every time I play them, I'm reminded of like what it was like playing N64 for the first time as a kid. It's that feeling again, and I Magical. Love it's amazing. It's like playing Mario 64 for the first time every time. You know what was that?
A whole new world.
Gotcha.
It's much like one more time with that singing. If you
I thought you were quoting Mario. I was like, when
does he I don't think that's Mario 64.
Oh, it's Super Sunshine. That's
on May 10th. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong. Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
It's just, it really is magical because it's just so hyper interactive. And like, it's Oculus, it's the Quest. So I know I'm not getting like the crazy, you know, 8K, you know, most hyper realistic experience. But I know where it's going. And like, I'm really optimistic. Like, yeah, this can be the future of gaming if they make it more accessible, more portable, more realistic, and just less, if they flatten that learning curve, you know, where it's a little less controller based and more finger based, you know, once they got that,
that'd be cool.
I am very, very on board.
You know,
that.
The sad, realistic answer of what sort of content we'll be making in 15 years is whatever the YouTube algorithm calculates that we should be making. Whatever we think that the YouTube algorithm thinks that we should be making is what we'll actually end up making.
Yeah.
That's depressingly real.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one more hard-hitting question, then a fun one.
Yeah.
What does success on YouTube mean to you? Right? Because like, I think so many people, as they're coming up, it's just, okay, I have to build my numbers. I have to build. But at a certain point, you've built your community. And then now what? Is it continuing to grow forever? Is it feeding the people that have brought you here? Is it finding a format that you love and keeping it? Is it continuing to innovate? Is it doing what you think the algorithm wants, or is it saying, fuck you, algorithm, I'm going to give what I want and what the people deserve?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard hitting.
That's a lot. That's a big thing.
I'm working on an answer. Yeah. Because there's like 15 parts in that question.
Yeah.
So 15 years, so many phases. I've tried so many different types of content and I failed so many times. And I 15 years later, I still don't really know what I'm doing. This is the first.
That's very comforting to hear.
Yeah.
I love that.
Still don't know. But I'll tell you, this is the first, not just year, this is the first like month, week, whatever you want to call it, that like I'm finally like, I have a team. And we slightly talked about this.
Hey.
We bumped into each other a few weeks ago. But I find like, because beforehand, I was doing everything solo.
Wow.
Mm. Whoa.
And it's very, very, very hard. So now I'm slowly like building out a team of editors, a team of people to help me with that comment getting, you know, for lack of a more scientific term.
Yeah. Well, sourcing.
We'll generally call it researchers.
Research. Let's do that. That sounds. I have a team of researchers, a small team of editors, etc. But I'm trying to get to. So I'm trying to get to uploading daily. Like for me, here's success.
Whoa. Here's, okay, so you're doubling down.
Here's my success. Like success for me. Like once I hit this goal, I'll be like, now I'm successful. But like, you know, and it's not even the numbers game, views and subs like that. For me right now, I will be successful once I can firmly maintain a schedule of 7 videos a week, daily uploads.
Whoa.
And my editors are editing 6 out of those 7 videos. If I hit that mark, I will consider myself somewhat successful.
Oh.
And we're getting there.
And why that? Why 7 a day or 7 a week? What?
Because I want to. All right, how do I phrase this without sounding?
I'm
awful.
Feeling the opposite. I'm like, maybe we should do one video every other week. Maybe we should just disappear.
Well, you're not the only person I've spoken to who's also like, you know, because I spoke to one of my good friends and an awesome fellow YouTuber who's been doing it for a very long time as well, and he like he showed me his whole setup and it's amazing. He's got like double the team I've got. He spits videos out like a factory. They're daily. And he's trying to scale back. He wants to do greater, more ambitious, bigger content.
Which isn't necessarily always what YouTube wants, right?
Right. And meanwhile, I'm trying to like, get to his level. Like there's kind of like a passing of the ships or something. Like, you know, he's going where I'm at and I'm trying to go where he's at. I want to go daily just because I can. I know I can. I've been wanting to go daily for like 5-6 years.
Okay,
and I never have. I
where are you at now?
I'm at five a week right now. Weekdays. There, and I'm trying to fill out weekends. And I'm really, really close to getting there. I just got to stockpile a little bit more. And then mid to late June, I think the dailies will be coming. Wow.
And do you feel that there is a very good alignment between what your heart as a creator wants to make and what the audience is expecting from you? Because I think that's the trickiest thing. Like if you get now into a place where like, well, I'm making stuff, but I want to make this other stuff.
Sure,
but
imagine you pour hours, emotional energy, creative energy, actual money, and then you make something and the audience is like, I don't know.
I like the old shit.
I like the old shit.
That happened to me this year. Like
really?
A few months ago. Mm. Yeah. So I started this year with my whole, I'm only going to upload once a week and it's going to be one big, ambitious, fun video.
Mm-hmm.
And I would put my blood, sweat, and tears into one, like honestly, weeks into one video for weekly videos. And they just didn't pay off. Like the viewers, it wasn't their bag. They didn't care for it, you know? And it's fine. And it's like, so then something clicked. It's like, why am I working harder and not smarter? Because then I made one video where it's kind of like this new sort of format I'm doing now, but I tried it and it just did so much better. And I had more fun shooting it. And it was so much easier. And that's when it clicked. It's like, what the hell am I doing? Killing myself over these like passion projects when I can just have a lot more fun cranking out these shorter ones. And honestly, they're more fun to shoot. They're just more fun to prep for. The way that I have it set up is, so like I said, like 6 out of my 7 videos, you know, are these series. They're series that I can mass produce and, you know, give out to editors. I want to save one video, one weekly video to be like my grab bag video. I can make that whatever I want.
That's great.
Be a parody. It can be a music video, a sketch, a shit post, a YouTube short, a compilation, a Twitch highlight, anything I want.
Try guys diss track.
It's coming out in July.
You wrote us the new theme song.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You wrote us the one and it was really good. Could use an update.
Part 2 coming out this summer. You got it.
I would love to see it. Love to hear it.
But like, I'm still giving myself like that freedom to like do one for me and then 6 for you, you know, you being like the viewers, the audience, whatever. And that's fine. Like, that's like a sweet spot. Like, if I can maintain that, I'll be happy because I can still fuck around and experiment and try weird shit on Mondays. And, you know, it'll either do okay or not at all. And that's what the other six videos are for.
Miles, can we make the intro to this episode Jack's theme song for us?
Hell yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
That makes me happy.
Do you ever get concerned in going from 5 to 7 that you will get that oversaturation of content, like too much content?
I don't. I don't. Because
who
I see the
get
numbers.
Enough of him?
I mean, I get it. Well, do you see that? Here's a way you maybe would tell. Do Mondays do better than Thursdays?
You know, that's a good point. They don't. They fluctuate. I'll tell you, Tuesdays and Thursdays do really well for some reason.
Okay.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't know. But like, so that's why Mondays are going to be my grab. Not why, but it's just like, it's just easier for me to, I think it's just a happy accident that it happens to fall on that same like schedule. But
you know, the great thing about daily is you're getting into people's daily routines, right? Like, I think,
that's
true. You know, part of when we like, because we'll do, you know, our two videos a week every Wednesday and Saturday at 8 a.m.
They know.
But then sometimes we'll add in like a Monday video.
Right.
I'm just,
right.
You know, this is
maybe
how...
some of Jack's fans are here, Zach.
Okay, go.
Maybe they're like, I love him so much. I will listen to this podcast of mostly people I don't care for.
Sorry,
and I've been so turned on by their charm. I want to know when their videos come out. And
my
Ned
point
was
is, we have one thing that's so set in stone that I can have a little jingle for it that thank you for derailing. It was, but the other stuff is kind of random. And I guess for you have 5 days, but then if you can really do 7 days, all of a sudden everyone is like, oh, at 8 a.m. I kind of brush my teeth with Jack. Also, if you're brushing your teeth at 8 a.m., what are you doing?
You're a monster. Yeah.
You know, after breakfast. Yeah, you have to save it till at least 1 p.m. to brush your teeth. Everyone knows that.
3 for me.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was going to watch the Try Guys, but then Zach was so certain that I already know their upload schedule. I'm out of here. Cocky bastard.
It's worth exploring. I mean, like, I've been wanting this for so long. But I do feel like, because there's always a big dip on the weekends, and I feel like, well, what if I upload on the weekend? We'll find out. We're going to see.
I get you. I watch one person who posts almost daily, and I like that there's always one piece of content I can rely on no matter what day it is. And even if I don't watch it every day, I'll be like, oh shit, there's 3 videos because I haven't watched the last 2 days. That's so much for me to watch while I'm on this treadmill. This is great. So I do like the idea of daily posting, especially when it's something consistent.
What I did last night with your videos, like, I haven't watched Jack in a couple weeks, and I jumped on and just was cooking dinner and watched a bunch, and yeah, it was great.
They're funny.
I think for us, one thing we see is that since we're a brand that's so based on experiential things, you know, trying awesome stuff, during the pandemic, we kind of, you know, with everyone had to be like more stuck in our houses, and then our content reflected.
We wanted to
lead
by example. We were being responsible people.
Sure.
And also, the people need content right now. Let's keep making videos.
So there's this sense where, when we do the things that are more fantastical, which, you know, PS, take a lot longer to produce, to line up, to, you know, schedule everything, probably also to edit, that it's like performs better. So in order to make something more frequent, we would have to make something like quote unquote smaller, which would just be always in the studio. Maybe it would work, maybe it wouldn't. But right now we have this sensation that, doing the bigger things is what the people want, which, you know, how do we do big things all the time? Maybe we should just publish less.
You also sprinkle in that we kind of have just used this over the last couple of years to just be like, hey, I have this thing that I just want to do, and here's our audience, and I'm just going to do it. And I think to our detriment as in terms of like optimizing our views and efficiency, but to our betterment in terms of experimentation and personal creative fulfillment, whatever that's worth. Right. But you know, we like mixing in weird shit sometimes because it's fun.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
How do you like transition a format from a test to like a like anchoring a day of the week? Is mm-hmm. there is yeah. it just if it blows up, you're like, well, I'll try it again, and then if that one blows up, you're like, okay.
So you're at like, how do I pick the day of the week? You mean?
No. How do you when do you identify something as being like worthy of gotcha. Serializing?
Well, I'll tell you this. I kind of had like a refreshment. I don't even know how, like a renaissance, a reawakening. So what happened was like earlier this year, I was just, not even that, the last year, I've been really struggling with YouTube in terms of passion, in terms of like wanting to make videos. I have been struggling with like idea generation just because, you know, not going out just means
what possibly happened in the last calendar year.
I couldn't tell you. You know, I couldn't pinpoint it.
Yeah, weird.
But it really, like just the whole like quarantine just really messed with my creativity, yep. you know, as did everyone else, but like, you know, me mm-hmm. as well. And
yeah,
so I struggled with ideas, and the videos that I was making at the time, I didn't really care for, but like, you know, I had brand fulfillment. So I had to make this video. This had a deadline and I wasn't happy with what I was putting out, but I had to make it. And so honestly, just a few weeks ago, like a month or two ago, I tried this new thing. It's like this blind format is what I'm calling it. So
it's perfect.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's normally...
It just makes so much sense, too. When it happened, I'm like, oh, yeah, obviously.
I know. Yeah. But here I am, like, 5 years into Yai. I've never thought of it. So, like, normally, when I make it a Yai, I ask a question. You know, like, describe your ex in 4 words. And then I read all the comments, and I whittle down to, like, a top 20 to 40 or so. And then I read those on, you know, but I've seen all the answers prior, obviously. Mm. I had, you know, finally, I tried something different. A friend offered this to me. Like, why don't you like have your moderators or your viewers pick the answers for you, and you don't know what you're about to read on camera? So
that's
tried that for a Yai episode.
Yeah,
and it just like it woke me up. All of a sudden, I'm like genuinely, I'm laughing on camera, like, you know, just catching myself.
It feels more like we're hanging out. Like you're capturing
the first reaction. Yeah.
The first reaction you're seeing, because like everything, every time I read a comment, it's now for the first time.
So it's less of a performance and a joke writing, and more of a kind of like in the moment reacting.
And then I still riff. Like once I like collect myself, then I can like, you know, riff and commentate on what I just read. So obviously I'm applying that to yesterday I asked you. I'm also applying it to old shows I also gave up last year because I was getting sick of Your Grammar Sucks. I wasn't having fun doing it anymore. Now I love it because it's blind. Mm. Same thing with my Q&A show. I was sick of Jackass. I just kept getting the same questions over and over again. I didn't know how to make it funny anymore. Now the Jackass is fun. I kind of brought back I didn't bring it back, but I kind of adapted the Wired format, those Wired videos,
uh-huh.
you know, yeah, where they peel off the things.
Complete.
Mm-hmm. So instead of like Google searches, it's just it's questions for me that I don't know what the questions are, because like, you know, I make this little board, this little arts and crafts style board, but I take out my glasses and contacts and I print them out and I'm like gluing together this board, but I'm making sure not to spoil it for myself.
That's so funny.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Do
doing
you film that.
That? Yeah. Oh, I did the first time.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, I wore sunglasses indoors, so I really wouldn't spoil it for them. I'm blind and also like really blind.
It's tinted. Yeah.
It's tinted. Right. But I it's so much fun having this prop, and all of a sudden this show that I swore I would never do, I even made a last Jackass episode in October last year, it's back and it's better than ever because I'm having some, like, I don't know, I'm not, I don't know, this question could suck, here we go, whoop. And it's just everything has this second life to it now. And so to answer your question, a very roundabout way to answer your question, but once I realized I could have fun again doing these shows that I wasn't having fun with, that's when I realized, let's churn them out. Let's go. I'm going to have fun with this for a long freaking time. Mm-hmm. I don't see this getting stale anytime soon. Let's turn this into a factory and make 6 of these every week.
And that's what success looks like to me on YouTube.
Wow. That's beautiful.
That's success to me. We'll, you know, we'll see if it holds up, but that's my goal this month.
Okay, so I did a whole Wikipedia deep dive, as I keep teasing. and by deep dive, I mean, I just read it. First of all, also, quick addendum, we're going to have to put a pin in this, follow up another episode. The three of us don't have individual Wikipedia pages.
Really?
It's some bullshit. The Try Guys Wikipedia page, very well kept up. Like impressively so. So I know whoever's doing it, I know I'm asking you for a little more work, but you can make a great Wikipedia page for us. We can maybe offer some lies.
We've done some cool things individually too, guys.
What about my early life?
We'll do that next episode.
What about my career?
We'll write our own Wikipedia.
You get to tag Al Gore in my first sentence. Yeah, Keith was born in Carthage, Tennessee, home of birthplace of Vice President Al Gore. And the one line. So important.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
You know, that would be in a Wikipedia entry.
Get your heights in there too, like 7'5".
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want the goofy stats.
Zach is 3'8". So a very fun nugget. If you guys have seen Jack's videos, you know that he loves making music, a passion he shares with Keith.
Yeah.
Keith, did you know that Jack also plays the French horn?
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. All right. What years?
I played from... seventh grade until sophomore year of college. So I played 7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about you?
Yeah. Middle school. So like fifth or sixth grade.
So I played trumpet in fifth and sixth grade and then switched to French horn.
Okay. Why'd you switch?
I switched to French horn because my band director asked me to do it and he convinced me saying that because there were no French horns in the high school. So he needed to teach someone young so there would be a French horn player in the high school. And he said, here's the thing. You could get really, really good at trumpet and you'll have competition for the rest of your life that's also really, really good.
Yeah.
You can get really, really good at the French horn. You will also still have competition, but far less.
Yeah.
There's just less players.
I played trumpet.
And he said, and additionally, if you'll switch... He's trying to have the sidebar. Additionally, if you switch to French horn, I'll teach you this summer for free. So he would give me free lessons. He would give me a French horn from the high school to use. And then I played French horn and I got really into it. Wow. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, where'd you grow up?
I grew up. Well, Keith, I grew up in Columbia, Maryland.
Oh, wow.
And I went to college in DC, American U. And then I moved out here in 2010. But yeah,
2012 for me.
So I played French horn in middle school, fifth, sixth grade, like I said.
That's cool.
And then all 4 years high school. I didn't play it in college, though. Mm. And you did. Okay.
Yeah, but you started 2 years before me, and I went 2 years longer than you. So it was the same amount of time.
Thing. Look at that.
Except that I initially went to college as a French horn performance major. That's what I thought I was going to do.
What did you end up doing?
This.
No, I mean, like, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that.
What did I end up doing?
Was that your major through and through?
No,
what do you do for a living, Keith?
I'm not familiar with theater major with a music minor.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm a music minor too. What the hell? Yo.
You know, Keith, I wasn't sure if you were in the Try Guys, and I went to the last video and there was like no mention of you.
I know. I noticed that too. But yeah, I played French horn. I was very, very into it. I played all the things. I did solo and ensemble, went to music camps. I was very
marching band ever?
Oh, yeah, I did marching band. Yeah. I played the mellophone.
That's what they gave you.
It's time for a French horn off. Guys, we have two French horns.
Oh, my God.
Wow. No matter. Ned just walked in, too. I really wish. Perfect. Have you played it recently?
God, no. I haven't played it since high school, I'm pretty sure.
Well, how do you think that got on your Wikipedia? Because it's prime real estate. Or maybe it just stuck out to me, but I saw it and I'm like, whoa, this is a key fact of your life.
It's probably because I brought it up in another relic of YouTube past. Draw My Life.
Oh, remember we never that? Got to do one.
We never have done that.
Bring it back. Yeah. Honest, I swear to God, if you guys bring it back for a video, it's going to come back.
You're right. It's time to come back. I think you could also...
Trendsetters, do it.
You could do a 3-minute long TikTok that also would mostly get everybody.
TikTok. Yeah, but who has time for a 3-minute TikTok?
Okay, well, let's reinvent it. Draw My Life is so 20, whatever. Uh-huh. Dance My Life. I'm going to do TikTok.
There it is.
TikTok dances that tell the story of my life.
Yep. Renegade, and you're like...
And then Tutting. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow,
I hate it already. Do it.
Well, if you want to borrow my French horn to like work it back up, let me know.
You have a French horn.
I have a French horn. I also, and the audience will know this soon, is I learned the trombone. Because I always wanted to play the trombone because it was the other hard one.
Yeah,
And it is hard.
It is because how do you control pitches?
You have to memorize a bunch of invisible placements.
We wanted a soundboard for the podcast, and it was too expensive. So Keith was like, "Oh, I'll just do it live."
That's awesome.
But yeah, I actually haven't played in a couple of weeks. I want to get back into
a couple weeks,
but there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work.
Oh, would you say your trombone's a little rusty?
Okay. Yay! Jack, please
get bodied.
But let me know just if you got
I would thank you.
But you have to make a video of you trying to relearn it.
Oh, naturally. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not gonna do it without filming myself.
Exactly. You can't have a hobby that's not content.
That was cute.
Yeah,
that was what a fun little
did you ever
tangent.
Play Concert Rondo?
Oh, what's
by
that?
Mozart. It's the one that goes ba ba bum ba ba bum ba 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 bum bum ba ba bum ba ba bum ba 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 bum ba da bum ba ba bum ba ba
bum bum bum.
I've been given the next section finger, but I could watch this all day.
Yeah, you're really good. Yeah. Is this the wrap up?
This
or just
go miles? To the next, go to my section.
Okay, stop talking about the French horn.
Oh, well, now it's time for our final segment, where the youngest and least experienced of us, who has not been on YouTube for 15 years, gives advice. It's advice that'll go for miles with Miles Bonsignore.
Buckle up, Jack.
It's advice that'll go for miles.
Once again, I usually do this just in front of them, and I got super comfortable, so having guests is a little nerve-wracking for me.
What's with your, like, just sort of room temperature lunch?
That's mine.
Oh, it's Zach's. Yeah. Why is it over by Miles?
I wanted to intimidate him with it.
Zach's trying to get jacked, remember?
I want to get jacked, too, kind of.
Don't you eat my lunch.
All right. Get built.
What the fuck is up, Miles Nation? How's everybody doing tonight? Slobbers, knobbers?
Doing pretty good.
Slobbers and knobbers. Oh my god. That's a blowjob reference right out the gate.
Wanted to be soaked?
Soaked.
Have you ever wanted to be slimy? And I'm talking downstairs.
Oh, boy.
Put your slip and slide on this staircase? You've been that's
three
dangerous.
For I think three slip and slide could gross.
Be
good.
Where is this going? Culture has become too restrictive.
Maybe it's that spike ball game. I saw him playing it on his Instagram the other day. And typically, it's something he's done that week.
Slobbers and knobbers.
But I don't know why it would be. Who's he'd this? Be all wet.
And I want everybody to slap bellies.
Okay, beach games, suntan lotion, jump in the ocean.
I saw him playing it.
Be honest about being horny.
There's no way you didn't blow out your own.
Wait, that's the advice?
Yes.
Sex.
Okay.
Sex positivity.
People are too shy about being horny.
Wow. This is.
So
that's true.
Like if I was horny right now, which I'm not, guys. Okay. I mean, maybe now I am a little bit because Miles said it.
A little horned up.
Thank you, Ned.
Why would I? Why it's well, it's hey, not appropriate for me to say in front of Zach.
Well,
Ned, what if it turns Zach on? What
if
his big old boner starts getting in my way?
Ned, the hand is on the shoulder and it's not moving. I want you to be comfortable. Tell me about your horned up problems.
I
want to
know more from Miles. Explain yourself.
That's right. I feel like people are not horny enough, okay?
Ned.
Okay.
Ned. I feel like you're not horny enough.
Don't single him.
You don't know my life, Miles. I'm the only one of us who is proven to have had sex.
The last time you were horny. Yes. No, I just think that there's something about
now,
it.
Are you talking about with your friends or with your partner?
Well, it's not at work, so this is pretty inappropriate.
I don't think it's good who needs to say it at work in front of your coworker.
Are you going
to
be tweeting it?
Pretty horned up right now.
Oh yeah, what if you just send them a tweet? Just feel like feeling a little horny today. What about you? I don't know. People aren't.
What about you?
No, we're normalizing discussion.
Yeah, we're normalizing.
When's the last time you were horny, Jack?
Yeah. Well, an hour.
Probably this week. Probably.
Yes. When you walked in?
As soon as the podcast started, right before.
Yeah, we slowly decreased that sensation.
Probably over the weekend. The weekend's a good time for horning.
It is. Well, I'd argue the best time.
So you don't have a Tuesday morning horny?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not saying I couldn't.
But you didn't.
But no, I don't think I did. Not this morning. And the electrician had to come.
Mm. Yeah. Wow,
I mean,
and I did horrifying. Times,
the plot of all pornos.
Yeah.
So what exactly are you saying, Miles?
I just think people should be like, feeling horny, guys.
kind of like that.
You think there's actually a break? I guess probably bad.
What do you guys want to do this weekend? You want to see a movie? I'm feeling horny.
That changes what you do with your friends.
I think that's great advice.
I don't know. It kind of reframes it.
I'm not sure if America's problem is too much resistance of their sexual urges.
Well, no, just legalize horniness is all.
Yeah.
You know, I just want people to be like,
but maybe if they talked about it more openly and candidly, then we wouldn't have all these problems, Keith.
It's possible.
Perhaps it's the repression of our
horniness.
Are you
saying like the way recently people are a bit more open about talking about like their mental health?
Yeah, people are like, hey, I deal with depression. I'm feeling horny.
I think it's gonna cause some sexual harassment cases.
I don't,
because you can't just tell people.
But Miles, that is what it is.
I guess
talking
true.
About being. Can you imagine a 50-year-old boss?
Yeah.
And a 20-year-old secretary, and the boss says,
they're
like, how's your weekend? Well, I've been pretty horny lately, because that's what you're saying. That's
fair. Miles' advice next week is no boundaries. Set them and respect them.
Yeah,
I think
that's
it's cool to talk about sex with your friends and talk about
honestly
being horny, I guess.
Scrap the advice, play spike ball.
Coward.
I'm sorry, Jack. I got nervous.
Oh, man.
They shamed my horniness.
They did.
#legalize horny for Miles.
Oh my God. I was on board.
I just not.
Miles is going to go to HR and tell him that he was shamed for his horniness.
They would shame me for being too horny.
I got a shout out. Somebody made the Twitter account Second Try HR and just tweeted out a fake complaint. And I think it's very funny.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's
That's a good handle.
Miles tweeted about my hog.
When you put the two things together, it does seem bad for me.
It's probably pretty good relationship advice to be more open about your sexual desires.
I think if you're boring about it, tell your partner.
Yeah, no, that's good. Be like, hey, babe, I'm feeling pretty horny. And they might be like, sorry, I like have to go eat lunch or something.
Yeah, but it's good that you talked about it rather than like, you know, keeping it inside or something.
Pretending not to be horny.
Like, I guess you could tell your parents. I'm trying to think of scenarios when it is okay to say I'm probably gonna be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
siblings.
Tell your pastor.
Pastors definitely love to
they
hear
wanna
about
know,
that shit.
Too.
They love that shit.
They want to be like,
they get off on it.
Naughty list, they check them.
Your rabbi.
Not pastors as much as
I mean Catholic
priests.
Yeah,
your rabbi
in the
confessional, you know.
Pastors, I don't think
they want to know.
They're like, so what do you have to confess for? Well,
you've done anything hot lately? You can tell me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Maybe it's, you know what? It's the context too. Don't look in someone's eyes and say, I'm horny.
No, that
you,
feels.
I think you need to say, boy, I've been feeling horny lately.
There we go.
And you should have a little like a tinge of shame in it.
I've been feeling horny lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if I look you in the eyes and say,
it doesn't feel good.
Hey, Miles.
Yeah.
I'm horny.
Yeah. I don't like
it. Doesn't work.
It's too
like
engaging.
It doesn't work.
It's an invitation.
I'd say the more sustained the eye contact is, the worse that it is.
Look away and say,
honestly,
I'm horny.
I think pretty much in every situation outside of the office and outside of like probably one of one interactions with like a true stranger.
Yeah.
Hey, Uber driver, I'm horny. Yeah. But like, I think it's
good
okay with
talk.
Your friends.
What
okay
if you just call an Uber to a strip club and they're like, am I going
to I'm horny.
Sexy Sevens? I'm like, yeah, that's right. I'm horny. And then they're going to be like, checks out.
Yeah. Checks out, you're going.
And you've already said where your horned energy is going.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Right. They don't have to deal with your horn energy.
It's like, it's not about you.
Right.
I'm going to this destination where hornery is accepted.
Right. Yeah.
Is it better to talk about it in the past tense?
Like, I was horny.
I was pretty horny last weekend.
Yeah.
That makes it better.
Right?
And it's not a current... Because when you say it in the moment, part of it's like, is that a threat?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's intense.
Part of the quest. Like,
come on to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like last podcast, I was feeling really horny.
Yeah.
Maybe I wouldn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I want to hear that.
Maybe we do a check-in and we talk about how we felt last podcast at the beginning of each new one.
I like that.
Yeah. I also like saying horned up.
That's
because
better.
It's the same, but doesn't have the same knee at the end, which I feel like that's what makes it sexy gross.
Yeah.
But like, I'm all horned up is also funnier to say.
I'm trying to think if I've ever genuinely told someone that I'm horny.
That's not your partner.
Definitely haven't.
I don't think I've used
those
words.
Yeah, I don't think I've... Yeah.
Just call my butt on the phone.
Hey, what's up, man? I feel pretty horny. You guys want to hang out or...
Yeah, I feel like I've only said horny in reference to like a pet. Like, look at that horny little fucker.
Yeah. Right. Or like
a show.
Quoting a movie from the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm glad that we exhausted this from every angle.
Yeah.
And I think what we've decided.
Mm-hmm.
Super is, cool. Go for it.
Most cases, think about it.
Yeah. Read the room for sure.
Read the room.
Mm hmm.
Well, Jack, thanks so much for joining.
What a note to end on.
Where can people find you online?
They can find me at hornedup.net. We just started.
Jack at hornedup.net.
Big paywall. Mm-hmm. Find me at youtube.com/jacksfilms. That's all I got for you.
It's and Jack's on films. OnlyFans.
Why Jack's Films?
I wanted to keep myself open. Whenever I made the channel, I didn't want to lock myself in a genre or a certain type of anything. I didn't want those pesky numbers either. You know, it's like Try Guys. You know, like, what do you try? Well, try anything, you know? Jackson, what kind of films do you make? You name them. Although I largely do stick to comedy, but, you know, you wouldn't know that from the name. So, wanted to keep my options open.
Yeah, Jack's Films is
better sounding than Jack's Comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? You know, because I was like, Jack's Comp? I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, Jack's Films, though. Anything.
Jack's Ha Ha Box.
Oh, God, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
Jack's Horny Palace.
that's my second channel. Yeah.
I never want to end.
Oh, my gosh. Jack's off. That's the horny channel.
Well, that was my nickname in high school. I was Meehoff. They called me Meehoff.
Oh, yeah. It's Jack's.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Jack's. There it is. Yeah. Guys, please subscribe to the show, rate it, helps people find it, blah, blah, blah. You know the drill. Keith, here's with the official tripod theme song.
We've thought about it. We think you shouldn't say that you're horny out loud unless it's to someone who's already said it to you before. Because they've opened the door to Horny Town. It's the tripod.
Until next time, stay horny.
Oh, that's a good takeaway. Yeah.
Let me do it again, Miles. Cut it out. Until next time, stay beautiful.